Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide.
Today, our scripture is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 23, which says, "And he said to them all," this is Jesus speaking, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." This is being spoken to those who are believers in Christ. And the point here was that we should serve the Lord. The Lord should have first place in our lives. And the promise is that if you want to come after him, there are certain things that are required. You have to deny yourself. You have to put him first. You have to sacrifice. I've found that in the Christian life that it always costs something to serve the Lord. We bring offerings to church to worship, and I know that throughout life it takes a sacrifice of time to go see someone in the hospital or to minister to someone or lead someone to Christ. It takes time out of your schedule to do that. You need to deny yourself and to take up your cross daily and follow me. I think taking up your cross means that living the Christian life in this day and age is not an easy one. There's some ridicule and some disappointment and some frustration that comes with trying to live in a secular society as a Christian. And we need to pray and ask the Lord to overcome these kinds of things. But basically the third part is to follow him, just to follow the Lord Jesus. To do that, we need to be reading our scriptures. We need to be praying. We need to put him first place in our life, and we need to allow him to be giving us his wisdom, his guidance, and his direction. And as we do those things, we will serve him. He will open doors for us, and he will bless our efforts, and we'll see fruit for our labors.
God is my rock. God is my rock. God is my rock. God is my rock. I will never be afraid. God is my rock. I will never be afraid. God is my salvation. Why should I run?
Why should I run?
No one can harm
no
me.
One can
and
harm
I shall
me.
Overcome. God is my
rock.
God is my rock.
God is my rock.
God is my rock.
God is my rock.
God is my rock.
God is my rock.
God is my rock.
God is my rock.
Hello, and welcome to another inspiring episode of Mission Moments. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, bringing you the latest updates from the mission field. This week, we are excited to spotlight Mission Go's commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities worldwide. Join us as we delve into the incredible stories of missionaries making a tangible difference in unique language groups worldwide. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, we celebrate the dedicated individuals who embark on this journey to preach, build genuine relationships, and address the needs of those they serve. Their commitment to outreach aims to share the gospel's transformative power, and we can't wait for you to hear these uplifting stories. Stay tuned as we explore the meaningful connections being forged and the lives being changed, all through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a short update from St. Fart Discipleship Ministry. Haiti, if you have been following news from Haiti, you have seen chaos in its most vivid form. There is no day without blood on the streets, killing, burning, fleeing, and family members beholding their loved ones dying. It is horrible to read such things, and even worse for our missionaries to see them in person. However, these things do not alter God's character and his goodness. When he calls, he leads, and he gives strength to endure. This is part of what has kept our missionaries in Haiti alive and productive in 2024. God anticipated bad days for his own, In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. The system of this world is incompatible with the approach and values of the kingdom of God. Therefore, God continually creates a path in the wilderness as the system of this world collapses, allowing the gospel of peace to touch hearts. He uses people like you and our missionaries as his mouth and feet when doing so. We are grateful for being part of his great plan, even in places like Haiti, because he has a people among the nations. He has done several things this year that have encouraged our missionaries in the field. While the chaos is ramping up, God is bringing leaders to the seminary to be trained for the ministry. God brought 79 new students to STEP Seminary this fall semester. This is just a small part of the pieces of evidence of God's work in Haiti. Our missionaries continue to serve the Lord through many avenues despite the chaos. Their radio broadcast is growing as more stations join them in Haiti, and they even have a new station in Port-au-Prince. Continue to pray for their safety as they follow in obedience. This is just one of the special messages we receive from the mission field. As we draw this inspiring episode of Mission Moments to a close, I want to take a moment to reflect on the powerful work being done around the globe. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, and it has been a joy to share with you the latest updates from the vibrant mission field. This week, we've been privileged to spotlight Mission Go's steadfast commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities in every corner of the world. The incredible stories of our missionaries remind us of the profound impact one can have. These devoted individuals are not just sharing messages. They are building genuine relationships and meeting heartfelt needs, all driven by their desire to share the transformative love of Jesus Christ. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, I encourage you to share these stories. They are testaments to faith in action and the beauty of community. Together, we are witnessing lives being transformed by the grace of God, and it's an honor to be part of this journey with you. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you will continue to pray for our missionaries and support their efforts to ignite hope and love in every community they touch. Until next time, may the grace and peace of our Lord bless you abundantly. This March, here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we would like to make available another booklet about patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand. As we continue the offering, the devotional series by Robert Strand, The Nine Fruits of the Spirit, the Greek word makrothumia, pronounced makroth, means forbearance, long-enduring, fortitude, long-suffering, and patience. When does a person develop patience? At the point of the new birth? How long does it take to cultivate this fruit to maturity? What does it take to make the process happen? The special application of this quality of character is most often exhibited in our dealing with other people relationships. Perhaps it's easier to approach this from the negative side. Lack of patience can poison relationships and too often ruins what would otherwise be wonderful and maybe even brilliant personalities. But this fruit takes time to mature. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. In these Bible studies, Fruits of the Spirit, by the bestseller author Robert Strand, you will learn about yourself and how to relate to others as you gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be in Christ. To order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario Postal Code L2R707, or in the United States Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231.
Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco and is taken from the book of Philemon. Printed copies are available upon request.
Today I would like us to look at the book of Philemon and see some important principles illustrated there. Philemon is a very special book or epistle written by the Apostle Paul as a personal letter to a friend. As such, it is the only one that has come down to us of probably many that he wrote. The other epistles were written to be read before the whole church. The setting of this small letter is a well-to-do slave master named Philemon was converted under Paul's ministry, likely at Ephesus. He had a runaway slave called Onesimus who had absconded, probably with some of Philemon's money, and fled to Rome. There Onesimus had realized the enormity of his crime and sought out Paul, who was a friend of Philemon and was in a Roman prison. Paul led him to faith in Christ and saw him grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Believing the right thing to do would be for Onesimus to return and make things right with his master, Paul sends him back, but not without a mutual friend called Epaphras, and a specially written letter to help pave the way for Onesimus's return. The letter is an absolute jewel of Christian wisdom, gentleness, and persuasiveness. First, let us note then Paul's introduction, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we note Paul does not use the term apostle, denoting his authority, as he does in other epistles. He does not pull rank, as it were, on Philemon, but wants to appeal to him as a friend and a fellow laborer in the gospel. Then secondly, Paul thanks God for Philemon's Christian example and leadership in the church. Verse 4, I thank God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication, that is sharing, that the sharing of thy faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the hearts of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So Philemon, then, is a leader in the church, sharing his faith and encouraging other believers, thus setting forth a good example. Paul carefully points this out, as this will make it perhaps more difficult for Philemon to refuse Paul's request, which he makes later. We see then Paul takes time to pave the way, setting forth their good relationship and Philemon's leadership and example in the church, in the hope that he will continue these virtues when he comes to Onesimus. Now verse 8. Paul comes to the main point of the letter when he says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I beseech thee, being such a man or one as Paul the aged, I now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bond, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to me and to thee, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own heart, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it. With mine own hand I will repay it. Albeit I do not say unto thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self beside. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Paul then writes of several workers and then says in verse 25, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. What a gracious letter of commendation. How deftly Paul balances justice, which Philemon would seek, with mercy, which Onesimus would need. Paul frankly declares the guilt of Onesimus, but appeals for Philemon to receive him as he would Paul himself. He promises to pay any debt that Onesimus owes, and appeals to the truth of the gospel that faith in Christ places all believers in a new family relationship where there are no masters or servants, but only brothers and sisters. Paul did not write a letter condemning slavery, but he certainly showed that it was unbecoming of a true believer, and the gospel of Christ was the seed that eventually brought slavery to its knees. In this little book, we see the foundation for problem-solving in all of human society. Gentleness, respect, the Christian virtues of love, and the spiritual brotherhood of believers can overcome all difficult problems. But there's more to the story. This little epistle illustrates, first, how God receives sinners. We and all mankind are like Onesimus. We have rebelled against and forsaken our good and benevolent God. Scripture says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," Romans 3:23. "There is none righteous, no, not one," Romans 3:10. "We have turned everyone to his own way," Isaiah 53:6. Mankind, then, without exception, has turned its back upon the true God and said, "Not thy way, but my way." This is the essence of sin. It is possible that Onesimus didn't realize the awful punishment that Roman law imposed upon runaway slaves. Perhaps through his sheltering in the home of Philemon, he was perhaps unknowing to him the true harshness. But when he reached Rome, it surely became apparent, for runaway slaves were usually crucified, and perhaps he saw some of them there. Roman law was a harsh law. I wonder, do we realize the terrible consequences of God's law on sin? Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," that is, eternal death. Man will be eternally separated from God because of his sin. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Friends, the wrath of God is not something you ever want to experience. There was only one thing that Roman law allowed. It allowed the runaway slave to go to a friend of his master and get him to plead his cause in the hope of receiving less than the full punishment of the law. Onesimus does that. He finds Paul in a Roman prison, who leads him to the Lord Jesus and then becomes an advocate between him and his wronged master. Just so, sinners too have a friend who they can come to and trust, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own Son. Not only is he the great mediator, but he is the only mediator for men between God. 1 Timothy 2 and 5 says there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Paul, the mediator for Onesimus, said, "Put what he owes on my account." How like the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the world on the cross, and takes all our sins and puts them on his account, and makes them read, "Paid in full." 1 John 2:2 says, "He is the propitiation," or the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. The gospel of Christ says if you will come to Jesus, he will take all your sins and put them to his account. He will become responsible for them, and you will be freed from its punishment forever. Then Paul said to Philemon, verse 12, "Receive Onesimus as you would receive me." Now, they were very, very good friends. Again, in verse 17, he says, "Receive him as myself." And then in verse 15, "Receive him forever." Friends, this is the central point of the letter, and it's exactly what Jesus says to the Heavenly Father on behalf of a believing sinner. "Receive him. Receive her as you would receive me." And we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loves the Son as well. Faith in Christ means the sinner is forgiven forever and received into the eternal family of God. John 14:21 says, "He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father." And again in verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him." Clearly, then, Scripture says to receive Christ is to be received of the Father. Our sinful past is paid for and gone forever. We are born again by God's own Spirit into a relationship that will last forever and ever. This is the promise we read in John 1 and 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name." To receive Christ is to be received of God. We can see then a beautiful picture of salvation in Christ as we look at the accounts written in this little book. There are other principles of vital truths illustrated as well. Think of those involving the Christian life. First, when we have offended others by our sinful or unchristian acts, we, like Onesimus, need to go back and make things right by confession and asking for forgiveness. That must have been a long, long trip from Rome to Colossae, as Onesimus thought perhaps about what could lie ahead. But he made it, and if Philemon did as we think he did or would do, as Paul requested, that is, to do more than he asked, then Onesimus was not only likely forgiven, but like many others at the time, it was possible for him to have been adopted into the master's family and to be treated fully as a son and heir. We can be assured that whatever happened to Onesimus, he was certainly glad that he had returned. Then there is a second principle here, that of Philemon. He was the one greatly wronged by the actions of Onesimus, but he was invited to be like the Lord Jesus, to forgive those who trespassed against him. And Jesus on the cross did forgive his enemies. We too need to learn to forgive others around us. And if we will do so, think of the blessing that would come to the church. Scripture tells believers to forgive others, as in Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. How different our churches could be and our homes if we as believers would follow the principles found in this little book. What vital lessons we have seen, such as faith in Christ makes all men equal in a brotherhood of the gospel. Then, Christian sensitivity and graciousness are virtues to be developed and displayed in the believers who differ in their opinions. Why not seek out other truths for yourself in this little book? May God bless you as you do.
As we draw this broadcast to a close, we at Mission Go and Canada's National Bible Hour want to express our heartfelt prayers for you. We hope the messages you've heard today and the inspiring stories from the mission field resonate deeply within you and ignite a passionate desire for a closer relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We encourage you to take a moment to immerse yourself in the wisdom of Scripture, reflecting on the beautiful invitation found in Matthew 11:28-29, where Jesus calls us to find rest in Him. May these words lift your spirit and guide you towards a more profound understanding of His love and purpose for your life. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, may God's grace and peace be with you all. Also, remember to order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series, 9 Fruits of the Spirit by Robert Strand. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23, to order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R7A7, or in the United States, box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. Thank you for tuning in to Canada's National Bible Hour. We truly appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Remember, this program is made possible by your generous support, and we couldn't continue sharing these uplifting messages without you. If you have any questions or want to discuss our broadcast further, feel free to contact Tammy Campbell, our dedicated producer, at tjcampbell@missiongo.org. We love hearing from you. Until next time, take care and may God bless you richly. We look forward to having you with us again soon.